My goals in my life are to be a good father, to be... Fuck you.
Get loud for Fantastic Zone, Ben Carone!
So the reason I'm single...
Yeah, we know that.
Yeah, because your wife stopped fucking me for free.
You guys ready to see your headline tonight?
Be like the exhibits at a pro-choice rally or something.
Welcome to the stage, the very funny Vince Carone.
Hello and welcome to Peek Behind the Curtain. My name is Vince Carone and you are listening to my weekly podcast all about my life as a traveling stand-up comedian for the past 18, 19 years, giving you a look behind the scenes at what it's like to be a struggling comedian, trying to make it, going through all the bumps in the roads. I don't hold anything back. I let you know all my true feelings, all the scars along the way, and all the shame, the happy, the up, the down that I've had to live in and exist with along the way of being a comedian. So that's what this podcast is about. If you're just tuning in for the first time. But if you want to get to know a little bit more about who I am as a comic, go check out my website at vincecarone.com and subscribe to all my social media at Vince Carone. Watch my videos, share my content, get other people interested. That's the biggest favor you could do for me. Before we dive into this week's topic, let's do a little bit of a cleanup on what happened last week. So last week, where we last left off, I had just told you about how I won a Best Comedian at the annual Burbee Awards, and I had two shows after that last week. The first was in Ashbury's in Bolingbrook, and it's a golf course clubhouse show. And I first did this show years and years ago. I can't remember the exact year, but a long time ago I did this show. For a place called Comedy Comedy, and a couple different people have booked it over the years, and a comedian named Ralphie Roberts, who's super funny, booked me for this back in maybe October of 2014, if I'm doing the math correctly here, and it was just such a fun show, and they're just such a great crowd full of laughers, and I haven't been there in a while, and Ralphie reached out a couple months back and asked if I'd be available this December, and it was a great chance. 1 week before my album recording, to get out and have a full headlining set and be able to run that material for my album recording. So I had that show on Friday last week, and the crowd was just so much fun from moment one. It was just firing on all four cylinders. I got up on stage and I said, you know, Ashbury's, Bolingbrook, Comedy, Friday night. And the place just started dying laughing. And I know as a listener, you're going, well, that's not funny. And that's what I was thinking while I was on stage, but they just started dying laughing. And I was like, hey, you guys, you know, sometimes it's just that easy. The material writes itself. And they gave me an applause break. And that was how my show started. So any actual jokes that I did after that just did great, but it was a crowd that was so awesome. And here's why it was great, especially for me. A lot of comedians ask if I write a lot, because I put out a lot of albums and a lot of content, and I write a lot in terms of I have a lot of content, but I don't sit down and write in a traditional sense. I create while I'm on stage, and so the better a crowd is, the faster my brain thinks and the more the creativity well starts running. So for me, when I already have an act or a bit and I'm flowing with it, if a crowd is super into it, I can actually start to think of new angles or new lines or new add-ons very, very quickly. And I was actually able to add a couple extra things, you know, 1 week before my album recording that just really helped tie in some loose ends. And, you know, that's the beauty of live performances. You know, inspiration sometimes strikes on day one and sometimes it strikes at the 11th hour. And so that was really cool to have that experience at Ashbury's in Bolingbrook. And then on Saturday, I went out to a place in Loves Park, Illinois called The Hope and Anchor. And it's just a fun bar. I did it for the first time last year. And last year was such a fun set. I couldn't wait to go back. I had a few people out in the area that were going to come back and see me. And so I went out there, and there was a couple other comedians that I know, Joe DeGand, and a couple others that were just real fun to watch, and I got to go up on stage, and you know, again, I probably had to do 30 or 35 minutes on stage that night, so it wasn't enough time to run my entire act for my album. And when you do get to hear my new album, you'll hear that the first probably 30 minutes of my, you know, 65 minutes on my new album is really heavy on my kids and being a father and being a parent. Well, the comedian who went up right before me at the Hope and Anchor did probably 15 minutes or so, 10 minutes, about being a father and being a parent and having kids. And it was funny. It was funny material. But I didn't want to open my show following that with another 30 minutes of the same, you know, themed stuff. And sometimes it happens in comedy. You know, we're all the same age, you know, sometimes. And so if you're the same age, you're going to talk about the same type of life experiences usually. So I didn't want to do that and run the show based on just that one theme. So I actually shifted gears and started doing some material that I'm saving for after my album recording. And I was actually able to, catch fire with a couple new ideas. And that was cool. And so that's a lesson for other comics as well, that if you if you're on a show and the person before you is really leaning heavy into one of the premises you're going to do, know that that's going to happen. That's just part of the business, and that's okay. Have other stuff ready to go and know that you you probably should make the switch. Even if I planned on doing my kid material, which I did, it wasn't right to open with it. I had to save it to kind of let the air clear a little bit. So I did it probably 20 minutes into my act instead of opening with it. And sometimes you got to make those shifts and pivots to accommodate the audience and, you know, kind of the general feel of the room. But one thing really funny happened when I was in at the Hope and Anchor, and some lady was talking to her friend the whole time, and, you know, the old me would have just snapped and gone from 0 to 100. If you listen to the episode about, Vince is a rookie and Ken is a cocksucker, you'll hear Ken and I talk about how I used to just snap on stage all the time, or some of my heckling episode podcast, you'll hear that as well. But nowadays, I like to fire the warning shot. And so I looked over at this lady and I was like, hey, you know, can you keep it down a little bit? And she said something back and I was like, hey, listen, I get it. You know, when I don't like something, I tune it out and I try and have my own conversation as well. So I get you don't like what I'm doing up here, but keep it down. And she goes, nah, you're just being insecure. And she jabbed me back. And so I looked at her and I said, I'm being insecure because I'm on stage and you're the one talking. You're being rude. I said, I got a back pocket full of shit. I have no problem laying your ass out in front of everybody in here, but I'm trying to be nice. Stop being a dick. And she was, and to her credit, she was a great sport about it. And she took that in stride and laughed. And I had some fun picking on her for another minute or two, but I never had to get to that mean place. I was able to keep control of the room and kind of fire that warning shot and let her know I'm not afraid to unleash here. Okay, but I'm also secure enough on stage now to go, yeah, you don't like me, and that's okay. I'm fine with that. You know, and that's actually what this next story is here, is right after that happened, I saw a guy and a girl in the back of the room get up and start putting their coats on, like they were going to leave. And so I looked at him, I said, are you leaving, or are you just going to smoke and coming back? I go, and he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, you're putting your coats on, are you guys leaving? And this guy goes to me, he goes, we're just giving you a standing ovation. And then he clapped his hands 3 times and just walked out of the room. And I just laughed. I thought it was such a clever, great line. And I looked at the ladies who were originally talking. And I said, so that's how you heckle. If you're ever going to walk out of a comedian's show, that's how you do it. Because we both know he's lying, but we both feel good about ourselves. He gets out of the show, and I feel good for getting a standing ovation. And it was just one of those authentic moments on stage. And that's other advice for young comedians. The more organic you are on stage, the more authentic you are, the better you're going to appeal to the audience. Okay, you're always going to have somebody in a crowd somewhere that doesn't like what you do. That's okay. You have to have realistic expectations, which none of us have when we first start, and it's still hard to shun those expectations the longer you do it, but you have to own it, wear it, and have fun with it. Don't take everything personally. It's okay that some people don't like you, because that makes those who do like you all that much more special, and that's how you carve out a niche of fans. If everybody likes you, like, I always feel like the material's too easy, and that I'm not accusing anybody of being a hack. I just, if everybody everywhere you go always likes you, I feel like you're playing to the masses versus your type of audience. And that's okay if you do that. That's just not the style of comedy I do. So I'm okay with having a person or two not like me. I don't try for that. I don't strive for that. I don't want it, but I can accept it if it happens. But anyway, so I just recorded my new album last night, which is why I'm late on delivering this podcast, as I said, but I will cover that in full, what happened on next week's podcast, but it went really well. So let's get into this week's topic, performing for the Chicago Blackhawks. So before I get into this quick story in here today, I got to give you a little bit of a background on how this opportunity came up for me. So back in September of 2018, I had an opportunity to go perform for the staff of the Chicago Blackhawks. Not the team, that would have been cool, but it was the staff of the Blackhawks, which was still a huge honor all on its own. They have a keynote speaking series every year, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a few minutes here. But here's the background. So I'm gonna cut some of the background story out for the sake of the podcast, because I'll tell this story in full some other day. But back in March of 2018, I was booked to open for David Spade at the Improv in Schaumburg, Illinois. And shortly before the week came up to work for him, I got a phone call from the Improv. I saw their number pop up on my phone. I'm like, uh-oh, here we go. David Spade's gonna cancel me, because the Improv wouldn't call again that close to the show if it wasn't something like that. And I pick up the phone. I'm like, why is he canceling? And the gentleman at the Improv was like, hey, Vince, I'm so sorry. He's bringing his openers with. There's nothing I can do. That's just how it's going to go. And I said, okay, hey, not a problem, man. Totally get it. Those things happen. It sucks for me. Really wanted to get to work with him. But that's how it goes. So, the booker at the Improv said, you know, I want to make it up to you. I want to make sure you get another week with us as soon as we can. You know, what are you doing Mother's Day weekend, you know, May of 2018? And I said, I'm open that weekend. He said, okay, I'm going to have you feature for Tammy Pescatelli, who's a very funny comedian. She was on Last Comic Standing years ago and had a variety of other specials out there. And I got to actually work with Tammy in October of 2017 in Milwaukee. So we had already met before. So I said, yeah, perfect. I know Tammy. Let me feature for her. That'll be great. So in May of 2018... I was working with Tammy at the Improv, and we're having a fun week. We're just getting along great because we know each other, so we're past that awkward comedy, you know, hey, do I know you type of moment. And we're just getting along, having a blast in the back room, in the green room rather. And Saturday night comes, and I went out there and I did an old bit off of my album No Complaints. I did the opener off of my 2014 release No Complaints, and it's all about traffic and construction, and it's an easier topic because I'm not offending, you know, really anybody in it, but it's a nice building rant. And if I need to get a show going and I'm not really, you know, in the heat of like working out a new set, sometimes I'll bring that back as my opener just to really light up the crowd who's never seen me before. And I had such an awesome set, and it was just wall-to-wall laughs nonstop for 20 minutes. And you have a lot of those throughout the year, and you have a lot of ones that aren't like that. But this was a night that was just on fire. Well, that was Saturday night. And then on Sunday, I'm on my way to the Improv, and I get this voicemail. Take a listen.
Hey, Vince. My name is John McDonough. I'm with the Chicago Blackhawks, and I happened to see your show on Saturday night at the Improv in Schaumburg, and was incredibly impressed, and just wanted to find out a little bit about performance fees, and I know you do some corporate work as well. Just wanted to get some more information about that, and if you get a chance, please call me.
Yeah, so that was a voicemail from John McDonough, the CEO of the Blackhawks, and he gave me a phone call. And he told me, hey, Vince, you know, I really dig what you're doing. I want to have a conversation with you. And I was actually almost to the Improv when I listened to that voicemail. And I didn't have a chance to call John before the show. And I'm just thinking, man, what the hell does he want, you know, with me, you know? But I guess he saw me on Saturday night and he loved the show. And, you know, and he gave me a call. So on Monday, I woke up and I had a message from one of John's assistants, and she said, hey, John would like to schedule a time to talk with you. Do you have time later today? And we set up a time to talk, and I got on the phone with John, and I'm nervous as shit. I don't know what to expect, you know, and this is John McDonough, it's the Blackhawks, you know, and I get on the phone, and he calls me right on time, and I answer the phone. I'm like, hello. And John just goes, you killed it the other night. And I was like, what's that? And he goes, you know that you crushed it the other night. That was such an awesome set. And we started laughing. And he was just the nicest, most personable guy ever. Just, and you could tell he just had a genuine interest in comedy and the behind the scenes, and in me as a person. Just asked me how long I've been doing it, asked me about getting hecklers, and asked me a couple ins and outs, and we chatted for probably 10 minutes or so, just making small talk up front. And it was just, and he put the whole conversation at ease, and it was just such a cool moment in my career, and just a different moment. And you know, and John asked, you know, hey, what do you do? I see you do some public speaking in addition to comedy, and we talked through it all, like, because I do motivational speaking as well. And we talked through what that looked like. And you know, we said, you know, let's figure out something. He goes, you know, we have a keynote series that we do every September for the staff of the Blackhawks. And for the past few years, we brought in Stan Mikita, you know, Mike Ditka, and Bud Selig. And so this year, you know, we're thinking about bringing you in. I said, well, you know, I'm obviously, after those three, I'm clearly the, you know, the next best in line. Yeah, I could see why you would choose me right after them. And, you know, I'm not qualified to follow Mike Ditka, Stan Mikita, or Bud Selig, you know, but they wanted to actually take things a different way, because I guess when they bring in celebrity status people, you know, what it ends up turning into is more of a Q&A with those individuals, which is still awesome. It's an awesome experience. But they wanted more of a message and more of a training and more of a motivational delivery to kind of like to really energize the, you know, the staff before the season kicked off. And so they wanted to go a different route. So we talked through what that was going to look like. And we decided, okay, Vince, you'll do a keynote. I'll give you some more details on that in a minute. But it was a super exciting moment for me when I hung up that phone, just thinking like, man, that is just, what are the odds that that happens? You know, and you hear about comedians all the time and other people getting like a cool little break out of nowhere, and you go, how does that happen? And it happened to me, and I can't even explain it to you any more than it was just, you know, the right time mixed with the right moment, mixed with the right opportunity, and that, you know, you need a little bit of luck in this business. So that was cool. On the other side of our sponsor here, I'm going to walk you through what I actually did for the Blackhawks and take you through that, what it was like to get to the United Center and meet everybody and see everything. So, all right. So now it's getting closer to September, and what I've agreed on with John is we found a budget that worked, and they wanted a couple hours worth of speaking. So what we agreed to do is I synced up with another buddy I know and who runs a consulting business and who I've done speaking for a bunch, and we talked about we knew an Olympic gold medalist in rowing, and we talked about bringing that gentleman in to do a speech, a motivational speech as well, because he's got a great story. And in the motivational speaking world, you know, I'm not a headliner, we'll put it that way. I'm more of a middle act still in that world as I'm building up my credentials. So so he was gonna do the final, you know, hour, and I was gonna do about 45 minutes up front of a motivational speech. And so I've had other stuff that I've done over the years and different speeches that I've tweaked for different companies, organizations, and teams. And for this one, I wanted to make it special, and I wanted to theme it a little bit different. And I started thinking, like, you know, what would my message be called? Because as I started thinking about the staff of the Blackhawks, I thought, okay, these are people who their friends probably tell them all the time, like, you have the coolest job ever. You work for the Chicago Blackhawks. And that's because their friends just assume you work for the Blackhawks, you must be partying at all the games, hanging out with the players all the time, just having the time of your life. Because these friends don't realize the blood, sweat, and tears the staff of the Blackhawks put into making that incredible organization run smoothly. And then half the time, they probably can't get to do all the fun stuff that we think they're doing because they're working so hard behind the scenes. And I thought of the parallels of that in comedy, and just in comedy, people go, you're a comedian, that's got to be the funnest job ever. And it's like, yeah, it is. For 1 hour a night, it is the funnest job ever. And that's because people don't think about the, you know, the 12-hour rides that you have to get there, and staying in a motel, and being away from your family, and missing your friends' birthdays, and you know, being by yourself, eating, you know, three meals a day by yourself for an entire for an entire week and feeling out of place, trying to make new friends every single week, everywhere you go. And then sometimes your material doesn't even go that well. And so now that hour wasn't even that great. And now you're struggling there. Or even if the hour goes well and you have the time of your life, then you still go back to an empty room by yourself. And people don't realize all the pain and struggle that goes behind it. And nor should you. That ruins the fun of comedy. You don't want to look on stage and know the backstory of the guy that's up there. Like, that's what this podcast is for. Listen to this to hear the bullshit we go through. You don't want that sob story on stage. You want me to show you that this is the greatest fucking job ever. And so I thought that was such a great parallel to the Blackhawks. So that was the general theme I started running everything behind. And I needed a name. I drafted my speech to them into four sections. And I was going to talk about comedy and relate it to them. And the four sections were the dream, the journey, the struggle, the victory. And I was going to tell them about all my different ups and downs with comedy. Some of them you've heard on this podcast. And the dream of how I started out as a comedian, how I, you know, as a 15, 16, 17-year-old kid used to, you know, memorize other comedians' bits and perform them. And, you know, I used to transcribe all comedians that I would watch on TV. I'd type up their entire act just to be able to read it and see it and understand the nuances better. And I talked about having that dream, that blue ocean view of what comedy was going to be. Then I talked about the journey. I'm actually in it now. Now I'm living it and I'm experiencing everything for the first time and everything is new and everything's exciting. Then I talked about the struggle. And in the struggle, I talked about my failed auditions, all the times I thought something was going to pop for me but didn't. And then talked about getting sick and thinking about quitting comedy. And you heard that in my misdiagnosed with cancer episode. And then I talked about the victory, what I learned out of all those experiences and what's carried me through to today and helped me understand how to move forward and really embrace where I'm at. And I was hoping to pass that message along to the staff and motivate them in case they were feeling that same way in their career. And so I needed a name if I was going to open myself up and expose myself to this group of individuals on the behind-the-scenes look at a comedy career. I needed a name for the presentation, and I came up with Peek Behind the Curtain. And you can see now that that's been the basis of this podcast, starting in September of 2018 when I went to go perform for the Chicago Blackhawks. It was the first time I told a bunch of behind-the-scenes stories, and I had such amazing feedback from the staff. And this is C-level staff and also frontline staff. So there's a full mix in there. You know, Rocky Wirtz, you know, the billionaire owner of the Blackhawks is in the room. John McDonough is in the room. Like all the big wigs of the organization are in the room. And Patrick Kane was hanging out outside the room and he was about to come in. But I guess there's sometimes a distraction if he comes in. So he didn't come in. But and they were talking about having all the players in and they decided not to. But anyway, so that was the speech, and so I went down to the United Center, and you know it's so crazy. You get to park in the employee parking spot of the United Center, and you walk right in, and we go right up to their luncheon area, and they got a beautiful, beautiful conference room set up, first class, and I was treated like first class the entire way from my name and face being, you know, advertised all over with a great background on me to making sure we didn't need anything. They handed us a bag full of swag, or, you know, hats, you know, t-shirts and, you know, long sleeve shirts and you know, thermoses and all kinds of just awesome Blackhawks stuff. It was just so cool to be treated like a celebrity for a day. And then the speech came, and people would be like, "Hey, were you nervous?" Fuck yes, I was nervous. You know, I'm performing for this group. I'm a little out of my element because it's not completely stand up comedy. I've got to make sure there's a motivational, inspiring message behind it. And I felt I was conflicted because I felt I had a really good, compelling story, but then I also felt like, who the fuck knows me and who would give a shit about my life? You know, so some of that insecurity kicked in. And again, same with this podcast. Like, yeah, I feel like I've got some cool stories to share. But if you don't know me, who gives a shit about me? And you know, but it was like, you know, I'm gonna embrace it. Somebody felt I was good enough to be here, so I'm gonna embrace it and live it up and believe in myself that I should be here. And the only way I know how to speak in front of people is to bring comedy into it. So I opened it up with a little bit of a rant saying, you know, hey, you know, I bet you guys, and I was sharing some of this in the planning stages with you, but hey, you know, I bet you guys, everybody tells you, you must have the greatest job ever. You're working for the Chicago Blackhawks. You must be at all the games, hanging out with the players, because they don't realize all that you go through. And the same thing happens to me in stand-up comedy. Vince, it must be great to be a comedian. Yeah, because they don't know what it's like. Have you ever had to drive from one gig to another and have 12 hours in between, and there's no gas stations in between. You got to piss so bad, you go to pull over to the side of the road and you pull over into what you think is going to be a ravine, but what you think is going to be the shoulder of the road, but it's really a ravine that's been filled with snow. So your car tips over at a 90 degree angle. Now you're stuck in the snow, having to piss into a cut off Gatorade bottle that you're dumping now down the side of your car when a cop comes up and sees you naked in your car peeing in a bottle. Has that ever happened to you at your day job? Have you ever had an 80-year-old woman come up and slip you the tongue after the show in front of a group of people to say you were hilarious? Has that ever happened at your day job? And I went into this rant of all this shit that's happened to me over the years in comedy, and I had the room really just laughing, and then, you know, I kind of, you know, summarized it with and I wouldn't trade any of it for the world. And I got a nice little bit of applause, and I got to go in, and I went through the four areas: the dream, the journey, the struggle, the victory. And I gave a little bit of a lesson at the end of each one. And at the end, what was really, really cool was how I was able to really wrap it up. And how I wrapped it up was I told them the story of how I ended up there. Okay. And when I was talking about the victory, I said, you know, let me give you one last lesson here. And it's called the hat trick. And the hat trick lesson that I shared, and it was hokey because it was hockey, and that got a laugh out of them, and I made fun of myself for doing that. But what I told them was, you know, when something goes wrong in your life, you know, when the smoke clears on that, think of three great things that came out of that wrong. And that's why that lesson was there. And you won't always know it in the moment. Sometimes it takes a lot of reflection. Okay. And I got canceled. From David Spade. And that was a shot to my ego. I was really, really looking forward to that. But I got booked right away for another weekend that was actually going to pay me more than I was going to get with David Spade. So that was like victory number one. And then I get to that weekend with Tammy Pescatelli, and I sell 100 CDs that weekend. Just like crazy. It was just a great weekend to be there. And I wouldn't have sold any if David Spade was there. And so that's victory number two. And then victory number three is, because I got canceled with David Spade, and due to that, I got rescheduled with Tammy Pescatelli, that is why John McDonough saw me that night. And that is why I am standing in the Chicago Blackhawks, you know, center, you know, having this speech right now, because David Spade canceled on me. And if that didn't happen, I wouldn't be here today. And it just got this great applause. It really brought together my entire speech. And it was just such an amazing feeling to have this group of the Blackhawks come up to me after the event, shake my hand, tell me, you know, which lessons they liked, what they learned. And then I got several emails the next day from the C-level staff telling me just how amazing it was and what they really enjoyed of that. And it was just so awesome. And I remember afterwards, you know, John was picking on me because I wore a suit that day. And you know, I'm not a suit wearing guy, and we were laughing, but we took a couple pictures. And John and one of his assistants came up to me afterwards, and they said, you know, listen, if you and your wife or you guys ever want to come out to a game, we'd love to host you here. Please take us up on it. We tell people all the time, and they don't take us up. Please do it. And so a couple weeks later, it was my anniversary with my wife, and it was the week of, and I'm a last-minute planner. And so I reached out to the Blackhawks, and I said, hey, listen, my wife's our anniversary's coming up, and I was thinking about taking my wife to a game, and I was just thinking, you know, I can go through you for tickets and how we can figure that out, you know, and nothing special. I just, if I can take her to a game, I think we'd have some fun. And they write me back and they said, we'd love to host you and your wife. We're putting two tickets aside for you right now. Please park in this lot, which is like a stone's throw from the building. You'll have free parking there. Walk right into the building, go to Will Call, get your tickets. You're going to have theater box seats. So it's your own private section with a curtain, your seats with a curtain, free food, free drinks. You have a, complimentary dinner with a private table at dinner, prime rib, filet mignon, the works, treated first class all the way. And, my wife and I just couldn't believe it, just how generous they were and how amazing the organization was. And then right before the night, I get a text that says, hey, Vince, let us know when you're here because John would like to come down and meet your wife. And so my wife and I are eating dinner, and John and his assistant, who are so awesome, I see them come walking through the room, and there's a bunch of people in this room, and John, and they're all looking because everyone knows who John is, and they're all coming up to our table, and John, again, coolest dude ever, so personable with my wife, just couldn't have been nicer, and chats with us for a little bit, tells us to enjoy the game, and the Blackhawks won in overtime that night, which is really cool. And afterwards, our private waitress goes, hey, who are you, by the way? And I was like, oh, I'm a stand-up comedian from Chicago. Why? And she goes, well, I saw John come down here, and he doesn't come down here for just anybody. So I knew you had to be somebody special. And that was so cool of her to say and so cool to hear. And I'm nobody special. Comedy allows you to strike a chord with people sometimes and tap into something in them. And that laughter bonds you. And when somebody is saying something that you can relate to so much that you find funny, that's just as good as empathy at that point. It bonds you through laughter. And that's the connection that John and I had, even if it's only for one event in our lives, we had that connection for that moment. And I've been in touch with them, and we'll probably do something together in the future. I went to another game on their behalf, and we stay in touch. But it was a super awesome experience, super awesome moment, and one that I'll make the highlight reel of my career, which is funny because one of the highlights of my career was a time when I actually didn't do comedy. I did motivational speaking instead. So super awesome moment to any comics that are listening out there. The lesson here is any opportunity is a learning opportunity. Getting canceled for David Spade, I could have flipped out. I could have handled that like shit. But having that happen throughout my career, I was ready for it. And experience is instinctual. You can't always plan for things. You just have to know when the moment comes, you'll be ready for them. And I knew how to handle that moment, and it led to something that was 10 times better. So super cool experience. I'll never forget that. So here's what's coming up for me. I'm making an executive decision. Normally, I released my podcasts on Thursdays, and I did that because Thursday usually starts the comedy week. You perform Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So being that this is a podcast about comedy, I thought it'd be kind of fun to release it on the days when comics are most likely to perform. And I don't know why I did that as a tie-in. Nobody gives a shit about that. So for me, it actually kind of throws things off because whenever I tell you about my past week, I'm either, over a week and a half behind, or I'm talking about something that happened the night before and I start running out of consistency and, a congruent story, I guess, for lack of better words that I can't think of. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to shift the podcast release to Monday morning. So I'm going to put this one out now because I'm already late. So this one's going to release on what is now Saturday morning. And I'm actually going to release the next one on Monday. So there's only going to be a two-day lag in between here just to get me back on track and to not make you have to wait a full week. Not to make all you listeners out there wait a full week to hear the next one. My next podcast is going to be about the vincectomy recording that took place last night at Zany's, and I'll give you some behind the scenes looks at that, and hopefully I can get the two other comics, Paul Farvar and Rena Kalm, on the podcast with me at least for a little bit to pull from them. That's what I'm going to try for, but no promises on that. But that's what next week's going to be. For the rest of this weekend, I'm off just enjoying some family time, a couple birthdays in my family. So hanging out, enjoying some well-needed family time, which is also important. Get out, take care of your goals, meet, do what you need to do to accomplish that and you follow your dreams, but also make time for your loved ones as well. So that's what I'm doing. Make sure you subscribe to all my social media, my YouTube channel, like my Facebook page, follow me on Instagram and Twitter. All of those are at Vince Carone. I don't do Snapchat. I couldn't fucking figure it out. I never really knew what it meant to be like, oh, yeah, this yellow ghost is trying to tell you something. I'd click on that, try to get rid of notifications, and I could never seem to get rid of it. So I dumped Snapchat. I don't really give a shit about it. But go check out some videos. I'll probably try and release a video this week. I'm a little behind on my rants on my website. I'm going to update a couple of those and release a few of those. So check out my road rants on my website at vincecarone.com. If you have any questions for me that you want me to answer about my album recording for next week's podcast, or any other questions about this week for the Blackhawks, send me an email at vince@vincecarone.com. I'll be happy to answer those and answer you as well. So that's it for this week. Thank you so much for listening. Really appreciate it. And I will talk to you in 2 days.